Your Bible tonight, take it and go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. And we'll start reading in verse number 1 tonight. And we'll get into the Word of God and see what He's got for us. And I praise the Lord for what He's already done in this place tonight. Isaiah chapter number 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 Lord God is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And the house was filled with smoke. I want us to look into the Word of God tonight, but first let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to come into Your house. And God, we thank You for the songs of Zion that have been sung tonight, that have given glory unto Your name. God, we thank You for the many blessings that You've bestowed upon us. And God, we thank You for each testimony that's testified of the faithfulness of God and the goodness that is You. And Lord, we want to honor You in all that we say and do tonight. And God, I pray that You would speak to us like You never have before. God, I pray You'd hide Your word in our hearts that we might not sin against You. And God, above all, we pray that Your name would be proclaimed, that You would be praised, that You'd get all the honor and the glory because You are worthy of it. Lord, we love You because You first loved us. Thank You for the precious blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary's cross. And God, thank You for the sweet Holy Ghost of God that we feel in this place tonight. And Lord, we pray that You'd move in a special way and help us as only You can. We pray that if there's one lost, that You'd save them. God, that You'd draw us all closer to You. Let us see You high and lifted up. And we bless Your name in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Here in Isaiah chapter number 6, we are reading by a book that is written by the man by the name of Isaiah, who is a prophet of the living God. And he is not writing his own words, but he is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We understand that. And we get down and we pass the first five chapters and we get down to chapter number 6. And we find that he mentions the death of King Uzziah. King Uzziah was a man. He was the 10th king of Judah. He was a very godly man. He was a man that had a high influence by the prophet Zechariah. And unlike many of the other kings of his day, he never totally departed from the worship of the true God. He stayed true to God and he did right in the sight of Almighty God. It was under the influence of King Uzziah, the southern kingdom attained power, wealth, and success, unlike any it had enjoyed since the days of Solomon. There was a great prosperity that happened under the reign of King Uzziah. The people were being blessed. God was doing great and mighty things. You see, they were made heady by his success as king and by his blessings from the Lord. Uzziah made the mistake of offering incense in the temple, and he disobeyed God. Though he did right in the sight of God, there was a time when he disobeyed him. And because of that, God has now stricken him with a disease that is called leprosy. And we all know about leprosy, how terrible of a disease it was. And so he has that disease, and it comes to the point in chapter 6 where Isaiah says, King Uzziah is dead. He's gone. And I want you to understand something tonight. Yes, Uzziah was a great king and he honored God for most of his life. But the one time when he disobeyed God, it cost him his very life. And we must understand tonight that it is a great ordeal to disobey God. It is a very dangerous thing to not do what God says to do. But for the most part, we understand that he did honor God, and there was a great blessing on Israel in those days, and God was doing great and mighty things. And so we find that the fact that Isaiah mentions this shows us that he greatly looked up to this man by the name of Uzziah. We understand that he is very disturbed by the death of this king. And you see, after all, Uzziah did reign for 52 years, and his death signaled the end of a time of great prosperity and consistency for Isaiah and the entire nation. It ushered in a time of uncertainty, a time of change, and a time of doubt. They are passing from a place of blessing to a place of brokenness. They are going from a place of goodness to a place of danger. They are going from prosperity and peace to being broken down, cast down, and feeling even forsaken and forgotten by Almighty God. Because they so greatly looked up to a man by the name of Uzziah. They thought he was great, and they thought that he was the reason that there was a blessing on their land. And in one aspect, it was true. But yet they too often looked up to this man. And they depended too much on a man rather than depending on God. And I don't know about you, but the days they were living in is what I would call uncertain days. Days where they didn't know what was coming. Days where their king had died, their beloved leader, he was gone. They didn't have him anymore. They didn't know who they could trust. They didn't know who they could turn to. They didn't know what they were going to do, but they knew they did not know what tomorrow was going to hold. And I don't know about you, but if that reminds you of anything you've ever, any place you've ever been in, or any situation you've ever found yourself in, but if this resembles any day that I've ever been alive in before, it is today. For we do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know what is coming, but we are living in days of uncertainty, days of change, and days of danger, days where we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, where we are living in some uncertainty days. And that is what I want to talk to you about, what Isaiah is writing about, what we need in uncertain days. What we need in uncertain days. What do we need in these days of uncertainty? We ain't got a clue who's going to be president. All that's just a big old mess. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. What in the world are we going to do? And what do we need in these days of uncertainty? When all these things just seem, what in the world is going on? Well, I want you to understand this. We need to see what Isaiah saw. Amen. We need to see the same vision that God gave to Isaiah. You see, Isaiah looked up to Uzziah. He just about was so close you could even call it. He almost worshipped Uzziah. He just held him in such a high esteem. But now he is dead, he is gone, and he realizes, I cannot depend on a man. And he must get to a place, and many times that's why God allows these situations of uncertainty, because he's trying to get our eyes off of man, off the situation, off the people, off the problem, and he is trying to get our eyes lifted up toward heaven that we might see exactly what Isaiah saw. You say, well, what is so important to see what Isaiah saw? Well, understanding it in the context, Uzziah is dead. They don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but God does something for Isaiah that he has not done for many people. Matter of fact, he told Moses, he said, you cannot see my face and live. But yet, he gives Isaiah the opportunity to gaze on into beyond the stars, beyond the sun, beyond the moon, beyond the Milky Way. He gets beyond the galaxies. He gets beyond the universe, and he gazes over into a throne room. And it's not just any throne room, but seated on that throne is the King of Kings, and it is the Lord of Lords. It is the great God of heaven. It is someone like he's never seen before. It's somebody more beautiful than he's ever beheld. It's somebody more wonderful than his mind could ever imagine. And he gets over into the throne room, and he gets to see the Lord seated on the throne. He's seated high and lifted up. He gets to see the Lord sitting on the throne. You know what we need to see? We need to see the Lord. Oh, we need to see the Lord. They were singing that song, "When I Think About the Lord." What comes to your mind when you think about the Lord? What comes to your mind? Are you seeing him as he really is? We need to see him as he is. We need to see him for who he is. Many times we Americanize God and we've got this American Christianity where we so belittle God and we make him so small, we make him so little, we make him some kind of genie in a bottle. We try to fit him into our little brain. But yet God is so much bigger than our brain. God is so much greater than our highest thought, and we need to see him as Isaiah saw him. You say, well, what is it? Just let me give you three things tonight, what Isaiah saw and that we need to see for ourselves. Number one, he saw God's position. He saw God's position. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, oh, what did he see? He saw something amazing. He said, I saw also the Lord. Oh, what a vision to see the Lord. What a way to see God sitting upon a throne. He was not in a manger. He was not in a stable. He was not in a barn. But yet Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. He said, I saw Yahweh. I saw Jehovah. I saw the King. I saw the God of heaven, and he wasn't broken down. He wasn't laying in a bed somewhere. He wasn't laying in a hospital, but the God of heaven, I know exactly where he's at. He said, I can see him with my own two eyes. He said, he's seated upon a throne. And there's something that we need to understand, and we need to see God's position. You see, Isaiah was seeing God's sovereignty. He was seeing God's power. He was beginning to understand how great he was. One man said an earthly king may have died, but the Lord still reigned. You see, he saw the Lord in every bit of his glory. He saw all the greatness that is God, and it had a profound impact on the life of Isaiah. It changed him for all of eternity. Isaiah's never going to be the same after he got this vision from God and saw what he needed to see. And we need to see what he saw. And it was that he saw God's position. He saw God wasn't biting his nails. God wasn't nervous. God wasn't scared. God wasn't sleeping. But God, it was in the same place that he has been since the beginning of time and even before then. For he is Alpha and Omega, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Isaiah saw God, he saw him in the same place he has always been and where he will be throughout eternity. He saw his position was seated upon the throne of heaven. God is still in control. God is still on the throne, and he still is all powerful. God, Isaiah saw God on the throne. He saw his position. One man said, Israel's king died, but Israel's God lives. I don't know about you, people pass away. Things change. Things shift so often. There's so many uncertain things. But there is one thing that is certain. There is one thing that is steadfast. There is one rock on which we stand. And it is this, that the God of heaven is forever and eternally seated upon the throne and always in control. He cannot be impeached. He cannot be voted out. But he will always be the king, and he will always be seated on the throne. He saw God's position. Israel's king died, but Israel's God lives. It does not matter who the president is, because we know who God is. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. We know who's on the throne, and we know who's in control. Matthew Henry said King Uzziah may have died a leper in a hospital, but the King of Kings is still on the throne. He saw it not only as it transcends above other thrones, but he saw it over other thrones as it rules them. Isaiah understood not only is he in control of everything, but he's above every other throne. He's the highest place you can get to. He's the highest rank you can have. He's in the highest role ever possible. He is the God of heaven, and he is seated on the throne. F.B. Meyer said, kings die, but Jesus lives. He said, threefold cries of holy represented the Trinity. And as they cried, holy, 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 they were saying, holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Holy Ghost. They were saying, forever God will reign. He saw something great. He saw God's position. He saw that even though Uzziah was dead, he said, I saw also the Lord, verse 1, sitting upon a throne. What a thought. You know what we need? We need to forget about everything in our life that's a problem, everything, all the situations we're facing. Just look up tonight. God's still there. God's still on the throne. We need to see God's position as Isaiah did. But not only that, number two, we need to see God's personality. We need to see God's personality. He not only saw him sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. But look at verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another, here's the personality of God, and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." He saw God's personality. He saw God for exactly who he is. Not only did he see the position as him being king and him being seated on the throne, but he saw his personality. You know what else? Above his love, above his mercy, above his grace, do you know what God is? And if we forget this, then we've missed God altogether. If we miss the theme in the Bible, if we miss who God is, it is that he is holy. Holy, holy. He is perfect, and he is righteous, and he is just. He is good. All he does is good. Everything he is good. We find these angelic beings in the temple proclaimed the thrice holy nature of the God of heaven. Even those sinless creatures were careful to honor the holiness and purity of the Lord. You notice that they are covered. They covered their faces with their wings. You say, well, why would the seraphims, why would these great angels that God made, why would they cover their face? You see, they were proclaiming the glory of the Lord. Holy, 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 Lord of hosts. See, now that Isaiah is seeing them covering their face, he is finally understanding that Uzziah might have been a good king, but the Lord was a holy God, and he alone deserved the glory for all of life. It isn't a man that deserves the glory, but it was God all by himself. You must understand this. When the angels cried, holy, 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 that doesn't mean a whole lot that they said it three times. We're like, well, maybe they're just repeating themselves, but you must understand that in the Hebrew, in Isaiah's day, if they were trying to use a superlative phrase, if they were trying to get to the greatest possible thing that they could call God, they would repeat it three times over. And so we see that they not only say he's holy, as we would say, but they say he's holy, holy, holy. Therefore, they are proclaiming God is holy above all else. God is better than all else. God is greater than all else. God is higher than all else. God is the one that is high and lifted up. He's the one seated on the throne. He's the one alone in control. They were saying, God, you alone are worthy of every bit of praise, every bit of honor, every bit of glory that we could offer, every time we could pray. God is worthy, and it's him alone. It's not him and a church. It's not him and a denomination. It's not him and a man. It's not him and a country. But he alone, the God of heaven, is worthy of the praise. He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oh, he saw his personality. When these seraphims covered their face, you know what they were doing? They were saying, we are not worthy to even look upon him. So you and I, sinful and wicked as we are, how could we dare think that we were worthy to look at him? So when we see this, what Isaiah saw, when we see his personality, we dare not enter into it lightly. We dare not enter it with sin in our life, but we ought to enter into it with a seriousness. When we come into church, we ought not take it lightly, because we're getting in the place where God is, where we can see him high and lifted up, and we can see that his personality is holy, holy, holy. They saw God's position. They saw him sitting upon a throne. He's in control. They saw his personality. They saw that he is holy, holy, holy. He is good, and everything he does is good. He cannot do anything else. He is right, and everything he does is right. Oh, what a position and what a personality is God's. Lastly, I want you to see one more thing. Not only did they see his position and his personality, oh, but they saw his presence. Isaiah saw his presence. Say, what do you mean? Verse number one says this, and his train filled the temple. Verse number four says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The house was filled with smoke. His train filled the temple. When it says that his house was filled with smoke, this is a symbol. We understand smoke in the Bible many times is a symbol of the presence and the spirit of Almighty God. And do you notice what it says? It not only says was there a smoke, but it says the house was filled with smoke. Not only was God's presence there, but God's presence was all there. All of God was in that place. Not just a little bit of God, all of God. The house was filled with smoke. I don't know about you, but where is smoke found? Where fire is. So there must have been a fire burning in that place. There must have been some praise as the seraphims cried, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord of hosts." And then there began to be a smoke because God was being praised. God was being worshiped. God was being honored. God was being magnified. God was being glorified. He was being lifted on high. They were seeing Him as for what He really was, high and lifted up, seated upon the throne. And the house was filled with smoke. Oh, that we'd get the house back filled with smoke. A lot of people want to say, well, once you've been around fire, the smoke won't do. Well, I don't know about you, but the Bible says the house was filled with smoke, and that was just a picture of the Holy Ghost. So if all we get is the smoke, that's good enough for me, because I want the presence of God. May we not enter into a church where the presence of God is not. May we not live a life where the presence of God is not. But may we lift our eyes up toward heaven, as Isaiah did, and see the house was filled with smoke. Not only was the house filled with smoke, but His train, and this is what I like, His train filled the temple. This is what I want you to understand. When it says the Lord was sitting upon a throne and He was high and lifted up, it says the train filled the temple. We, as Americans and we people who live in America, we don't really understand what that's talking about. The only train we can really even refer to, really even understand is, oh, we think about a bride wears a train, right? Bride wears a train. That's that long thing that just flows down the aisle. That thing that the girls have to go and pick up just so the girl don't fall over when she's coming down the aisle. A train, the thing a bride wears. That's not what He's talking about. God wasn't wearing some feminine garment on His head as a bride does. No. God's train was filling the temple. A train, what is it? Yes, it's still a long flowing garment, but it's a different kind. It's something that kings would wear in Isaiah's day. And if we really want to understand it, we must understand this. A king that had a short train wasn't a very good king. A king that had a long train would have been a king that was great. And it says his train filled the temple. In Isaiah's day, when a king would win a battle, listen to me, when a king would win a battle, every time he would overcome another country, another kingdom, another king, he would go to that king, he cut off his hem of his garment, and he would have that sewed to his own personal train that he wore. The more victories they had, the longer their train was. Listen to me. Think about it. The more battles the king had won, the longer his train would be. Are you getting it tonight? The more battles the king won, the longer his train would be. What did it say, that his train was all over the throne? No. What, his train covered him? No. His train filled the hallway? No. It said his train filled the temple. His train filled the temple. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? Well, I'm just telling you this, that we need to see God's presence for what it is. You say, well, what is it? It is that He is a victorious king. You say, what do you mean? His train is filling the temple. You say, why is it filling the temple? Because He has won battle after battle. He has won victory after victory. Do I have somebody tonight that can testify to the fact that God is an overcomer, that God is great, that God is strong, that He is powerful, that He is the mighty true God? Is there anybody that can testify and say, I had a battle, but God helped me through it, and God overcame it, and His train is filling the temple, and it's filling the temple because it's filled up with the battles that He's won for you and the battles that He's won for me. And we, as the children of God, we're not on the losing side. We are on the winning side tonight. We are on the side with the King of Kings, the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave, the one that kicked Satan in the face. One day He's going to throw him him on into hell, and forever we will worship God as being the one whose strength fills the temple, because he's won every battle that we can imagine. He's won every war. He's put it all to an end. God is victorious. God is the champion. His train filled the temple. I don't know about you, but there's been so many battles. There's been so many wars. But God is victorious over every single one. So when we're in his presence, when we see his presence, we're not going to live like we're on the losing side anymore. But we're going to see him and we're going to think, oh, what a man. Oh, what a God. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a warrior. Oh, what a champion. What a healer. What a great physician. What a lily of the valley. What a bright and a morning star. What a great one that is altogether lovely. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all glory. Isaiah saw his position. Isaiah saw his personality. But Isaiah saw his presence as being king over all and victorious over every battle that he had ever faced. God has never lost the battle, and he never will. He is the champion who is undefeated, who is unbeatable, and who is still seated on the throne. He is still high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also. He said, yes, this situation was one thing. It was uncertain. He said, but in the middle of uncertainty, I saw something certain. Saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Oh. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly, cried one to another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That means the Lord Almighty, the Lord with many armies. The whole earth is full of his glory, oh, full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Oh, in these days of uncertainty, if we would just see what Isaiah saw. Oh, if we'd just get a vision of another world. Oh, if we would just gaze over into that third heaven and see our King. See how great. See how mighty. I believe then our soul would sing, how great thou art. How great thou art. I believe that if we saw what Isaiah saw, we'd fall down on our face in worship. If we saw what Isaiah saw, we'd lift our hands in praise. If we saw what Isaiah saw, then what would we do knowing that he is in the room? Oh, there's a great King. There's a great God, and he's our God. He's our King. He's seated on the throne. He's high and lifted up. His train's filling the temple. And the house was filled with smoke. Brother Mike, would it be okay if Michaela comes? Come on. She's going to get a song ready. Maybe you're lost tonight. Maybe you don't know this God I'm talking about. Why don't you look up tonight? You can see him. Oh, you can see him. Maybe, child of God, you're facing some battles, facing some problems, some situations. Why don't you come give it to the Lord? He's victorious over them all. He's got you. He's not going to let you go. Maybe, child of God, you're just so worried about the uncertainty that we're facing in these days. Why don't you just come trust God tonight and see him for what he is, how great and mighty. What a champion. Maybe you just want to praise him. Maybe you just want to honor him. We could never enough cry, holy, 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 Lord of hosts. Let's praise him tonight. You just do what God leads you to do. Father, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. You're wonderful. You're lovely. God, I pray you'd save souls. I pray you'd draw us to you. God, let us see you as Isaiah saw you in these days of uncertainty. We love you, God. You're worthy. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You stand all over the building. Maybe you need to come. These are already praying. She's going to sing tonight. You just do what the Lord tells you. Brother Michael.
As the deer panteth for the water. so long if after
altars are open, you come.
Business with the Lord, you come.